19th chapter of the book of John. And we'll begin reading in verse number 25. I felt like it'd be good to mention this here, or preach this tonight, for a first night. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, His mother. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, His mother. When all of His disciples had forsook Him and fled, and John had enough to come back, I believe the only one, we find here His mother never left Him. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, His mother, and His mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw His mother and the disciple by whom He loved, He saith unto His mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith He to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Amen. Would you stretch your hands this way? Ask God to help us here tonight. Father, we need Your touch. We can't preach without You. Thankful, Lord, for the ability that You've given us. Let us speak the oracles of God and let Christ get the glory. I pray, O Lord, that You would move. You know who's listening under the sound of my voice. I might not be even knowing that they're looking this way. I might not realize it, Lord. But I pray that You would move and let Your gospel reach out to a lost and dying world. In this first night of tent revival, unannounced, I pray that You would meet with us. We'll give You praise and glory in Jesus' name. And the church said, Amen and amen. Thank You, brother. Hallelujah. I want to preach on, if the Lord would help me, I'd like to preach on, it's still the cross. Amen. It's still the cross. The cross is the center of Christianity. It's more than just an emblem. It's more than just a relic. The cross, amen, was the instrument on which the Lord of glory died, that mankind could be redeemed back to God. Paul said in his epistle, he said, I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'll tell you, that is the message that should be sounded from every, amen, pulpit in America, from every platform in America. It ought to be the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to know that every good and perfect gift that came to man, it flows from Calvary's cross. Without the cross, without Him dying and going to a tomb and coming back on the rising from the dead on the third day, mankind would be doomed. Are you hearing me? And I know here in my text in John chapter 19. You have to pray for me. I'm going to have to adjust to this outside weather and the wind blowing. I prayed for no rain, but I forgot about the wind. Hallelujah. Amen. And I want to tell you tonight, I read to you this where Jesus was on the cross. The Bible said that His mother stood right by the cross. His mother never left Him. It was His mother that before anybody knew Messiah was going to come, that Gabriel had come to her. And she was highly favored among women. She's not equal with her son. Her son was the Son of God. But she was a virgin, a blessed and a goodly young lady. Amen. That the Holy Ghost or God the Father handpicked her. Amen. To be the lady that would bear the Lord Jesus Christ. But that day when Simeon looked at Mary, there as they brought that little infant to the tomb, Simeon and Anna. But Simeon said, Behold, this child is set up for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against. And in verse 35, he went on to prophesy to Mary. He said, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. Mary did not realize the heartbreak that she was going to suffer. Mary did not realize the trouble that it would bring to her life, being the mother of the Son of God who came to do the will of His Father. Are you with me, church? You remember that day in the temple? Jesus, His mother and them went a couple days journey, Brother Jimmy Jones, before they realized He was missing. And when they turned back and went to, even toward the city they had left Him, even when they got there, they asked Him what He was doing. He said, don't you know that I ought to be about my Father's business? Even at 12 years old, He was beginning to realize that the reason He was in this world was to die. The reason He was in this world was to shed His blood. Oh yes, even that day at the wedding, we find Him there. Hallelujah. They have run out of wine. That was a very humiliating thing for those that were hosting the wedding. His mother says to them, whatsoever He saith unto thee, do it. Now Jesus spoke to her not with disrespect, not with dishonor, but He looked at His mother and He did not call her mother. He said, woman, mine hour is not yet come. Are you hearing me tonight? I want to tell you, that was another sword that cut through her heart. She didn't understand the purpose, the divine plan for her son. Oh yes. And then that time she came, He was wearing Himself out traveling through Judea and through Samaria and through the uttermost parts of that known world. She came to slow Him down, and instead of Him listening to her, now He wasn't disrespectful. He was 33 years old, but He had came to do the will of His Father. I'm telling you, His mother was not the head of His home, but it was His Father. Oh, somebody shout amen. And He said, in order, said, who is my father and my mother, my sister and my brother? He that doeth the will of God. And again, there was a sword that pierced that mother's heart. But the greatest piercing of Mary's heart, the greatest piercing was not at the temple. It was not at the wedding. It was not at the, amen, when she come to slow Him down. The greatest piercing was when she was at Calvary. When she's seen her son beaten and broken, battered at the cross, her station keeping, stood the mournful mother weeping, close to Jesus to the last, though her heart His sorrow sharing, all His bitter anguish bearing, now at length the sword had passed. Can you imagine that mother? She, amen, had rocked the divine Son of God. Amen, when He was an infant. It was she that had gave Him, amen, a bottle, if you will. It was she that had changed His diapers when He wasn't able. Come on now. And now, even though it was the Son of God who had came to die for the sins of the world, even it was her boy. And she had those maternal feelings. Amen. For Jesus, are you hearing me? I want to preach to you tonight. I want to typify. I didn't get this out of a book. Amen. The Lord laid this on my heart some years ago. But I want to typify to you today. Amen. That Mary, amen, standing there at the foot of the cross with her son beaten and battered and bruised, dying for lost humanity. That Mary is a type of the church. She's a type of the remnant. Amen. She's a type of those that still hold, amen, fast to sound doctrine. The true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ that still believe it's not in programs. It's not in psychoheresy. It's not in pipe pop psychology. But the power of this glorious gospel, it still lies in the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're listening in the shadows, behind the fence, in an automobile, I come to tell you the answer for your dilemma and the answer for your problem is not a shrink. It's not some soothsayer. It's not some fortune teller. It's not some palm reader. But the answer for your dilemma, the answer for your trial, the answer for what you're in, it's still the cross. It's still the blood. It's still the gospel. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. I wish we were a little bit closer to hallelujah quick stop that maybe they can hear us down there. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, amen, Mary standing at the foot of the cross, I want to typify to you tonight as being those that still believe that the answer to this world's dilemma is not social reform. Come on now. It's the preaching of the glorious cross. Tito Witt Talmage, one of the greatest preachers at the end of the 1800s, he preached the cross. George Whitefield rode his horse, covered the countryside, preaching the glorious gospel. And the theme of his preaching was the cross. Are you hearing me? Jonathan Edwards preached the cross. D.L. Moody preached the cross. Jonathan Wesley preached the cross. Charles Finney preached the cross. William Carey preached the cross. Charles Livingston preached the cross. And I'm telling you, in 2004, on April 18th, amen, in Sterlington, Louisiana, amen, Tracy Boyd has come to preach to you that it's still the cross. Hallelujah. It still takes the drugs out of the addict, the lust out of the harlot, the alcohol out of the drunkard. It is still the cross. Would you lift your hands and praise Him? These men preached the cross. Hallelujah. I won't tell my preachers something. We've made a religion sometimes. Hallelujah. Out of other things than Christ. Come on now. He's the main thing. The cross is the mainspring. Oh, I wish somebody would help me here. Amen. Well, I try to preach to you. In the New Testament, Christ's crucifixion is mentioned in every book but three. It's not mentioned in Philemon. It's not mentioned in 2 John. It's not mentioned in 3 John. But in every other book in the New Testament, there is mention about Calvary. There is mention about the crucifixion. Amen. In the book of Matthew, two long chapters of 141 verses. Amen. Are given to the crucifixion. In the book of Mark, amen, who recorded more of the works of Jesus than the words of Jesus. Amen. He gave over 116 verses. Amen. To the cross. Luke, he gave two long chapters. Amen. To the preaching of the cross. And then John, in covering the Passion Week, he gave over half of his universal book about the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, I didn't have to go see a movie. Amen. To have the gospel stir me up. Amen. This book is alive and it lives in my soul. I'm telling you, it is still the cross. Oh, glory to God. In the book of Acts, Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, Bible said, delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, that was indeed the heart and the theme of Peter's preaching. He was saying it was predetermined, the foreknowledge of God, that Jesus was going to come and die for mankind. It was the heart and the theme of his preaching. Thus the first authentic utterance of the Holy Ghost in the new dispensation consisted of this. Amen. It was the authentication of Calvary as God's plan for redemption. Are you hearing me? When Peter got under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, he didn't preach programs. He didn't preach entertainment. Amen. He preached the cross. He said it was God's way. Amen. That Jesus was going to come on now. He said it was the will of God for the Lord of glory to be crucified. I want to tell you, water cannot save you. Amen. Shaking a preacher's hand is not enough. You've got to bow at the foot of the old rugged cross and repent of your sins. Paul preached the cross. He preached it in Athens. It was the capital of intellectualism. Paul was a very brilliant man, but he didn't try to match brains with him. He preached the cross. He went, oh glory to God. He went to Thessalonica. Amen. That was full of idolatry. And he preached the cross. Are you hearing me? He went to Corinth where they were low down. Amen. Come on now. Lived filthy. And the worst were, amen, it was almost, amen, like a bad word. Amen. If someone called you a Corinthicizer, come on now. But when he went there, he preached the cross. I want to tell you tonight, the cross is still the answer to man's dilemma. If we were to take the cross out of our preaching, it's like taking the heat out of the fire, the melody out of the music, the numbers out of the mathematics, the facts out of history, and words out of the vocabulary. I'm telling you, we can't afford to let go of the cross. We've got to lift it high. I said we've got to lift it high.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Woo. My God. Amen. I'm determined not to know anything except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'm going to pray, church, that you can be trusted for a week. Amen. While I preach. But I'm telling you, if you're in a dilemma tonight, the cross is your answer. Amen. Listen to me. It's still the cross. Mary stood at the scene around the cross. That was her boy. Darnell, think. How old's Braylon? 4? About 29 years. Him hanging on a cross. Huh? Beaten. Battered and bruised. She stood right there at that cross. It wasn't a pretty scene. Around that foot of the cross there was blasphemy. Around that foot of the cross there was mockery. Around the foot of the cross there was scorn. People were weeping. Soldiers were rolling dice. People were playing games. My God, and we're on the very brink of eternity. Jesus Christ is getting ready to come. And today the world mocks God's work. They mock the church. They want to do away with the cross. Even the way of God is blasphemed. They want to throw Him out of our courthouses. They want to throw Him out of our public schools. They took the Ten Commandments out of our schools and off the walls, and now they're splattered with blood, with the blood of teenage violence. I'll tell you, where there is no law, there is lawlessness. Are you hearing me here tonight? Amen. My God, this world is blaspheming the name of God. Holy living is ridiculed and mocked. Amen. The coming of the Lord. Nobody believes Jesus is coming anymore. They say they've been preaching that for years. They preached it to my grandpa in the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s. Here we are in 2004. But I want to tell you, amen, before this tent revival is over, the Lord of glory should split the eastern skies and we, God's children, go home. So we got holy living being mocked, the coming of the Lord being mocked. Churches all over are like them soldiers there at the foot of the cross. And they're playing games, drama, entertainment, flesh, carnality, and the pressure of the hour on the true church of the living God. And the spirit of the times is saying, bow, bend, break. That cross is just an emblem of suffering and shame. There's nothing to the cross. There's nothing to the Savior dying. Amen. Come on, quit preaching about redemption. Quit preaching that bloody gospel. Amen. But I want to tell you, I want to be like Esther in this blaspheming generation, in this mocking generation, in this half-hearted playing games generation. I want to be like Esther, amen, with a spirit of self-denial and say, if I perish, I perish. But as much as in me is, I'm going to preach that the cross is still the answer. I'm going to be like Shammah. I'm going to stand in the midst of the bean patch and still declare to this world that the answer is the cross. Are you hearing me? Amen. Come on now. I want to be like the three Hebrew boys. Amen. Bow. We ain't bowing. Come on now. We're going to stand. I'm telling you, they stood. Stood's the opposite of surrender. Standing is the opposite of fleeing. They stood there. Why were they standing when everybody else was bowing? It was because when everybody else was standing, they were talking to the God of Abraham and the God of Jacob. Oh my God, if you're praying, you can stand in this hour. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hear me now. The spirit of our day, and I need to hurry, that was found around the foot of the cross is that same spirit that is in the world today. It's in the church, the professing church today. Jesus was on the cross. Dave, his mother, was standing with him. But the high priest, the thieves that were railing on him, they were saying, if thou be the Son of God, come down. That's the same spirit that's in the world today. Come down. Come down. Come down. Lower yourself to the world's standards. Let yourself get used to the world's climate. Come down. Don't preach that cross. Don't preach ruin. Don't preach about that. Don't preach that. Just preach about the good things. Preach about the things I preached about this morning, the good things that are on the table. The world says, come down and we'll believe. Come down. They want us to get off the cross. They don't want us to preach that it takes a crucified life, that you've got to deny yourself and take up His cross. They don't want to hear that. They want us to come down off the place of death. But I want to tell you, we can't afford to loosen up. We can't afford to come down. I'm telling you, if you're bound by alcohol, the cross is still your answer. If you're bound by drugs, the cross is still your answer. Amen. If you're committing adultery, the cross is your answer. My God, I want to tell you, I still believe it's the cross. Amen. I'm preaching with everything I've got within me tonight. I need to hurry. They that passed by reviled Him in Matthew 27, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Brother, we've got people wanting, amen, us to bring him off the cross. They want us to make, amen, Jesus just a man. Are you hearing me? Come on, and they want to make man God. They're wanting to deify Satan, and they're wanting to demote Christ. Are you hearing me? But I'm telling you, he's still the Savior. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I'm telling you, Christianity has often been wounded by men who have used their offices to gain confidence, amen, and then take something from them. And I'm telling you, the world is being duped. Amen, the world is being deceived. Amen, come on now, by these preachers that tell their crowd, you can do whatever you want to do. You don't have to worry about bearing a cross. You don't have to worry about it. I want to tell you, hallelujah, come unto me. Amen, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm telling you, the cross that I'm toting, it's not heavy. It's the perfect law of liberty. I love my Lord. He gave me something the world cannot give. Listen to me. They're blaspheming him. They're mocking him. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking him. Come down! We'll believe. That's a cry. Some of you hear it all the time on the job. You don't have to live that way. Come on down to our church. Our preacher's a yellow belly. You can do whatever you want to. Come on down. Same spirit. Same spirit. Come on now. Things change. Times change. But the same spirits are prevalent in the world today. Oh, I wish you'd help me, church. I know I'm just your preacher. Come on here. But I won't tell you right now. Hallelujah. There's a spirit of mockery in this world. Oh, yeah. Our government wants to take our Bibles. They want to shut down gospel broadcasting. There's a fight going on. There's a mockery toward the things of God. Are you hearing me? They mock old time religion. Come on now. The way I run church, amen, it ain't popular anymore. It's not up to the code. I'm not riding the wave of the future. Come on now. You got to pander to the people. You got to give the people what they want. Amen. I'm trying to give them what they need. What they need is to come to the cross. Repent of their sins. Come on now. Amen. Die. Be born again. Be changed. In 2 Kings, the Bible said, and he went up thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, go up, thou bald head. Little children mocking the elder. Little children mocking the old prophet. Go up, thy bald head. Bald means unadorned. It means plain. It means barren. I want to tell you, that's what the world's doing. Amen. With old time religion, they're mocking it. Come on now, it's too plain. It's too unadorning. It ain't pretty enough. Come on. Amen. Go up. Get out of here. Get out of our way. Oh yeah, you need to help me. Isaiah said the child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient. And I'm telling you, we're living in a day that things have changed. And we're living in the midst of an apostasy. Do you know what apostasy is? It's when people become self-deluded, when people become self-deceived, amen, and things they used to hold dear, amen, they let go of them, and they begin to do what is right in their own eyes, but they are deceived, and they think that they are right. Are you hearing me? Oh, I wish somebody would help me. And now we've got apostates, and we've got young preachers, amen, in their 20s, that are preaching, and since sincerely, from their heart, they feel they are preaching the truth, but they have never been around the fires of Pentecost, the
they have never been around. Amen. Come on now. Amen. A Bible college that still says the answer to all the world's trouble. Amen. Is the cross. It's the blood. My God, we become so dignified.
There are people that sincerely believe. But if God ever visited their formal prayer meeting with His presence, it would scare some people to death. Come on, Jeff. There might be some people that come under this tent. We might get to singing, and they might take off out of here. Don't get your feelings hurt. Sometimes nobody's offended them. Nobody's hurt their feelings. It's just the presence of the Lord gets so real and gets so strong. They get shook up. They have to go home and say, "Dear God, I ain't never felt nothing like that. I mean, what was that? Something was in that place. Oh yes, something was. He was the third person of the Godhead. That's why I need to help you to pray. I need you to help me pray this week." Oh, come on. If you're out behind that fence, I'm telling you, Jesus is the answer. My God, I need to preach to Stirlington. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what. I hope that's what's brought some of you back. But listen, we live in an hour. I'm getting ready to close. In this hour of policy without principle, and wealth without works, and pleasure without conscience, knowledge without character, industry without morality, worship without sacrifice, the way of the cross seems plain and seems so barren. This is the temptation that faces many pulpits today and confronts many Christians that are trying to live holy lives. We get tired of the week by week church going, tithe paying, living a disciplined life, bearing the cross. And we look at a world that wants the sensational. They want the glaring. They want the pomp and the glory kind of living. They want a Madison Avenue Christianity. Come on now. Go up thy bald head. You're unadorned. You're plain. You're barren. So they compromise and they begin to mock holiness. Are you hearing me? But I'm telling you, friend, amen, oh hallelujah. Let this world mock the church. I'm telling you, I'm not just preaching about a holiness movement. I'm telling you, there are still Baptist preachers that preach it's still the cross. They preach repentance. They preach salvation by faith. Are you hearing me? There's still some Methodists. There's still, come on now, I'm not preaching to his denomination, but I'm telling you, every true God called Holy Ghost man is still going to preach that it's still the cross. Listen to me. They were playing games. And in this apostate age in which we live, many folks supposing themselves to be Christians or risking it all in a lukewarm, compromised spiritual lifestyle. Isaiah said, "In that day seven women shall lay hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread, wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach." That's the spirit of this age. Everybody wants to accept Jesus. Are you hearing me? They want to believe Jesus. Tell you it's going to take more than just believing. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. That's not enough. The devils believe that and they tremble. You've got to believe that enough that you believe that Jesus went to the cross, died for your sins. You've got to believe it enough to realize that you're guilty, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've got to realize there's none righteous, no, not one. You've got to realize, behold, you were shapen in iniquity, and in sin did your mother conceive you. You've got to realize that the wages of sin is death, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But I want to tell you something. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm not going to preach this long every night, but it's just us here. That's the spirit of the age. Just accept Him and then walk and live any way you want to. You don't have to feed us. We have our own gospel. We'll provide our own wardrobe and our new cross. A.W. Tozer said the old cross slew men, but the new cross entertains them. The old cross condemned men, but the new one amuses them. The old cross destroyed confidence in the flesh. The new encourages it. The old cross, amen, called for sacrifice. The new cross is laughter and games. I'm telling you, men are still dividing the garments of Christ at the foot of the cross. They're seizing His gifts and His influences, but they live Him on the cross. They just want to use His name. They want to do what they want to do, eat their own bread, have their own doctrine, live any old way they want to. Come on now, they're playing games. But I'm telling you, I want to be like Mary. I want to be like His mother. I want to stand at the foot of the cross and say simply, amen, to the cross I cling. Nothing in my hand I bring, but simply to your cross I cling. Would you lift your hands and praise Him? As my wife comes, it's still the cross. Let me tell you, Jesus is the number one seller of all time. People make merchandise on Jesus. Come on now. What would Jesus do? A phenomenon, a fad. If Jesus was still living today, you couldn't say of Him, He had nowhere to lay His head. Because if He had a patent on everything that's sold in His name, Bill Gates wouldn't even have a chance. Y'all believe that? He's the number one seller. He is. Sad how He's being made merchandise. They take His gifts and His influences, use Him, but they leave Him on the cross. A.B. Simpson, before He got sanctified, He was a second definite sanctified man. So one day he's seen, I told you this before, and in the vision God showed him Jesus on the cross. He was battered, broken. He said, A.B., walk around. And as A.B. Simpson walked around the cross, he looked. And on the other side he's seen that he was crucified with Christ. That's the forgotten cross. We know it's still the cross. But the forgotten cross is we're not getting up there with Him. Listen to me if you're out there somewhere. I don't know if we're loud enough for you to hear us. If you're in misery, your heart's broken, your home's in shambles, maybe under this tent there's someone. I'm telling you, it's still the cross. It's still the cross. Gold City sung a song some years ago. It said it's not conservative or liberal, or however they're defined. It's not about interpretation or the judgment of the mind. It's the opposite of politics, power and prestige. It's about a simple message. And whether we believe, we can water down theology and preach a word to suit our needs. We can justify sweet, subtle lies that are wrapped in noble deeds. We can alter our convictions to adapt to social whims. But we cannot change the gospel or the truth contained within. It's still the cross. It's still the blood of Calvary that cleanses sin, sets the captive free. It's still the name of Jesus that has power to save the lost. It's still the cross. That's how I feel tonight. Hear George Whitfield preach. He said, "What?" His friend said, "What are you going to hear Whitfield preach?" He said, "You don't believe what he's preaching, do you? About a cross and about repentance and forgiveness of sins?" He said, "No, I don't believe it." But he said, "He does." I hope anybody listening to me out there and under this tent, amen, I hope one thing, you might not believe it, but I hope you know he does. That preacher does. I still believe it's the gospel. I believe the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Lord. Yet say unto thee, you have not went too far. I, the Lord God, am walking toward you, reaching for you, searching for you. Yea, I would say unto thee, if thou would repent, The cross will still work. The blood still cleanses. Yea, I would say unto thee, come unto me. Cast your burden upon me, and I will sustain thee, saith the Lord. Amen. Amen. Would you stretch your hands up toward heaven? Maybe there's someone under this tent. Maybe there's someone out over that fence. Is there someone here the devil's been telling you went too far? Huh? But the Holy Ghost said, is the devil lying to somebody? If that's you. You need to get out from where you're sitting. You need to come. You need to kneel down at this altar. The devil's a lying to you. I don't care if you failed the Lord. I don't care what you've done. You can find forgiveness for your sin at this old-fashioned altar. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Do you know the Lord? How about it, young lady? How about it, young man? Do you really know? Do you really know a born-again experience? How about it, sir? Do you really know? Do you really know what it is to be born again? Oh, hallelujah. God help David, the king. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, men. Dave's trying. Come on, David. Kneel down at this altar. Some of you young boys, pray with these folks. Amen. They felt something around here. They've been going to church, but they want something more. How about it? Is there a young lady? Come on, you've been to, you, come on, you need to come to the altar tonight. You need to come on down here. Don't let the devil cheat you. Come on, come around the altar. Come on. Come around the altar. It's still the cross. It's still the cross. It's still the cross. Hallelujah. Somebody gather around Sister Pat over there. One of you sanctified ladies that knows how to pray. That lady needs the Lord's touch. She's going through a lot of stuff, and I don't even know it all. She needs to feel the love. Her sister, yes, she does. Oh, come on, David. David, I hope you feel the love of God in this house. I hope you know the cross still works.